Every Christian baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit has been given a gift of God's breath of life, the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, the sanctifying grace that removes original sin and restores our souls into the pure image of God. The charism, or the mark of the Holy Spirit on our souls, makes an imprint of Jesus Christ where his very presence is in us, spiritually, by the Holy Spirit's power. The more obedient you and I are to the Holy Spirit's urgings, the more like Christ we become. And that's why it's so important, especially in young families, that the parents of baptized children teach their children how to pray, how to talk to and to listen to God, to know the basic truths of their Catholic faith, to know their prayers, the Ten Commandments, to go to Mass, and at home to be taught good manners, self-respect, and respect for others, to discipline them and correct them, not to indulge them, to teach them the value of work and cooperation. But I would say the same thing for all of us, not just children, but teenagers and adults, all of us here, that we would learn how to pray, how to talk to and to listen to God attentively, that we ourselves would refresh our memories by going back to study the Scriptures, read the Gospels and the truths of our Catholic faith, to understand our prayers, that we're not just babbling words, but actually having a conversation heart to heart with God, whether those prayers are memorized or not. That we too would understand and memorize the Ten Commandments, and more importantly, to live them each and every day, to attend Mass, to practice good manners ourselves, to have self-respect and respect for others, to discipline ourselves and correct ourselves whenever we do wrong, and not to indulge ourselves in our desires, but instead to know self-control and to see the value of our work and cooperation with others. In everything, we're living our lives as Christians, not just by word, but also by example. But we know that God doesn't stop at baptism. In the sacrament of confirmation, which 38 of our young parishioners received this past Thursday night, in a very beautiful confirmation mass, the Lord brings to its fullness what he began for us in baptism by water, by baptizing us in the Holy Spirit and with fire, as Jesus says. The Lord is there to fill us with those seven gifts that were spoken of by the prophet Isaiah to conform us more perfectly to Christ. Those seven gifts heralded the coming of the Messiah, but it also signifies the presence of Jesus' own life in us. It's the gift of wisdom. Wisdom to be able to think with the mind of Christ and to think as God thinks. There's that gift of counsel to help us to understand and choose and judge correctly what is God's will and to live our lives according to God's will. The gift of understanding the truths of our faith. That fortitude or that courage or perseverance, especially in times of temptation, doubt, or persecution. Knowledge to discover God's presence in his created world, to discover the supernatural truths that are contained in creation. Piety to truly love and to trust God as our Father and to love one another as brothers and sisters. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord to increase our sense of respect for and obedience to God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, as God and Lord. Now, like any gifts at all, any gifts, these gifts are freely given and must be freely received. But like any other gift, too, they can be put away and ignored, or they can be kept out and put to good use. The choice is ours. If there's anything that we know about Christianity, is that it's not some passive faith. We're not part of a passive faith at all. God is alive and active. Love is alive and active because God is alive and active. And you and I have been recreated and sanctified by the sacraments in order to be alive in grace and active in good works. Christians who are not alive in active grace, but instead are dead in active sin, are not living according to the Spirit they have received. Even if they have the name of Christian, their actions prove otherwise. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul talks about that. He says that the works of the Spirit are different from the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are obvious, he says. Immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. And he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And sadly, what he describes is kind of like a little microcosm of the world that you and I live in today. We see people who do not live by the Spirit, but instead satisfy the flesh by breaking God's commandments with things that are not of God at all. All around us, we see the non-sacramental use of human sexuality through perversion, pornography, fornication and adultery, homosexuality. We see people who worship money, power, or fame. They worship having control, and they follow false religions, either pagan worship or man-made religions, ideas that go apart from Christ. And people even indulge in sorcery. That is, they follow witchcraft, believe it or not. There's still some voodoo practiced in our area. You have psychics and fortune tellers advertised on TV. You see all the hatred there is in the world, rage of people against one another, for foolish reasons. Racism of all kinds, every racist, not just black on white or white on black, but just people absolutely hating each other because of the color of their skin. We see people burning down cities and businesses. There's war, there's hypocrisy everywhere in government. It's as though the devil knows exactly what he's doing to divide us together with an us versus them mentality. And then to make ourselves feel better, we turn to drinking or drugs or God knows whatever else. But this is not of God. We are to be of one heart and one mind. We're to love God and love one another, no matter who we are. We are meant to be one body, one spirit in Christ. And the scriptures, as I said, are clear. Those who perpetuate these things bring hell on earth and will end up eternally in hell themselves, apart from the kingdom of God, which they tried to destroy. In contrast, though, St. Paul says, those of us who live by the Holy Spirit have something different. The fruit of the Spirit, St. Paul says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, we might fail from time to time, but are we striving to live those things? As St. Paul says, we must control ourselves and put away our animal passions and live like people of God. Christ became like us to teach us how to be like him, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to do just that. And how do we know that we're living by the Spirit of Christ? Those things I just read from Galatians. If we truly love and obey God and try to serve him with all our heart. If we truly love and respect our neighbor, no matter who they are. If you can always find some good, some joy, even in the midst of the worst of circumstances. When you have a patience that is born of love. When you are kind and generous and expect nothing else in return. When you are faithful and loyal to God, to your family, to your church, to your friends, your neighbors, your community, your state, your country. It's by your gentleness and humility, your modesty and self-control. It's by us respecting our bodies as the temples of the Holy Spirit, which they are. This is of God. This is of God. And this is how a person of prayer, a person of faith, a person of hope must live. Jesus promised peace by the forgiveness of sin. And peace has been defined as the tranquility that comes from order. Satan loves disorder. God loves order. Look at how he created the world, one thing at a time, and one thing builds on the other. The order that we are meant to live in, as God says, is to love him completely, to love one another, and put ourselves last. Never to be selfish, never to be self-centered, but to live in communion with God and one another. To always seek the good, to turn away from sin, and follow the path of grace and peace. Sin, venial or mortal sin, all sin in every way causes disorder. But if we live in the Spirit, as St. Paul says, let us also follow the Spirit who leads us to peace. Peace within, peace with God, to be at peace with one another.